There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You're listening to Drive Live with Tim Elliott and Natalie Lindo-Taylor. We're talking all about women in the workplace.
Drive Live talks careers.
We are joined by three guests in the studio today. We have Helen Maguire, who's the founder of Hopscotch. Helen, welcome.
Thank you.
We also have Tim Baker, who's a digital entrepreneur and founder of Hug Digital. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you.
Two Tims today. We also have Jamie Liddington, who's a partner at Huddup and Partners. Jamie, welcome. Good to see you.
Good to be here.
It's been a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're talking all about women in the workplace. Now, it's something Tim has a lot of experience in, being a woman himself.
You really don't want to go there. No, I tend to work with two women every day. I don't tend to have a male partner in this position, so I can contribute.
You're surrounded by women. But it's interesting. You have a daughter, you have a wife, and you have a work wife. And as such, you have to think about women in the workplace too.
It's very true.
It is true. So we're going to start there. And I guess, Jamie, we'll come to you first. What are some of the laws that we can expect to see here? Because lots of us come from different places and we have different laws in terms of equality in the workplace around the world. But here locally, what laws do we have to protect women, particularly ones who are perhaps mothers too in the workplace?
Yeah, well, primarily obviously in the area outside of the DIFC and the Abu Dhabi Global Market Free Zone, we're talking about the federal labour law, and the protections that are afforded by the federal labour law relate to working hours for women, a general prohibition on working between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. That's considered nighttime work, and there are exemptions that apply. In addition to that, there's certain types of profession that are considered hazardous or harmful. So unless the ministry approves of those, you're going to ask me what they are, aren't you?
I don't know. Do you know? Okay.
But unless the ministry approves of that, then again, they will just simply decline a work permit application for a woman who's going to fulfill one of those roles. And then, as you'd expect, you've got maternity leave and maternity pay. So for a female who is pregnant and has 1 year service, the entitlement is to 45 calendar days of leave at full pay. And if it's less than 1 year service prior to the start of that maternity leave period, then it's half pay.
Okay.
So there are generally, the standard provisions there in the federal law. The DIFC employment law, slightly more generous. It's 65 days of maternity leave, of which the first 33 is at full pay, and that's working days, I should say, and then 32 at half pay. And I think, crucially, there's enshrined within the DIFC employment law the right to return to the same role or to a substantially similar role. So that's quite important in terms of giving a woman the ability to take that break and then come back to the same job. Whereas, I have seen occasions when you've had women who have gone off on maternity leave in, as I say, the onshore area, where the federal law applies. And let's say the maternity cover employee was seen to be better for some reason or another, then the employer could say, well, we don't want you to come back and we're going to therefore terminate your employment. Well, there is the right to claim that that's an arbitrary dismissal and claim up to 3 months' wages, but then that's it.
That's the end of the line. You can imagine for many mothers going off, that's the idea of a worst nightmare. You're away, somebody comes along and they decide for whatever reason, not even necessarily that they're better, they might be cheaper to keep them. So there are ways that people are protected, like you mentioned. There is some kind of recourse. But do you think there is, in your experience, is there a glaring difference between the way sort of men and women are treated in the workplace?
I can compare it to, say, where I'm from, the UK, and spent the first 7 or 8 years of my career there. I think, Dubai has a melting pot of cultures and nationalities, as we all know, and so certain nationalities come with different preconceptions about certain genders and so on. That's not to say that that doesn't exist in London as a market as well. But I do sense, not from necessary client conversations, thankfully I've got a nice bunch of clients, but, social circumstances, you do have a preconception and a stereotype that, hiring women, they're going to go off on maternity leave, or they'll be more focused on their childcare because they're going to have that as their primary responsibility. So I do think there's a stigma. It's an unfair one, and I hope it's slowly changing.
And Helen, what would you say about that? Do you think that is the experience women see in the workplace? What do people tell you at Hopscotch?
I would hope not. I mean, certainly when we launched 2 years ago, it was a challenging conversation to have, to talk about flexibility at all with employers was difficult. It was a case of sometimes having to convince them to take on more women, sometimes having to convince them of the benefits of, you know, flexible working roles and having mothers in the workplace at all. I think over the last couple of years, it has changed. I don't really run into those conversations anymore. But obviously, there are plenty of women in our community who have struggled to get back into work once they've had kids.
It's interesting that you say it's just 2 years, because to me, 2 years seems like a very short space of time to see. It's not a seismic change, that would be overplaying it, but that's a huge change, isn't it? It's a very positive change as well.
Yeah, I think it's a global change. I don't think it's just here. I mean, International Women's Day this year was huge, you know. Personally, I was invited to several different events on the day, leading up to the day and even after the day. That wasn't the case a couple of years ago. You didn't see the press around it, and I think... you know, a lot of the big kind of Oscar-led, LA-led, Hollywood-led campaigns have really helped to push things forward, and just to make it a no-go area to say that you're not interested in hiring women or having gender equality in the workplace, or even having, you know, mums in the workplace as well. So I think it does seem like a short space of time, but Dubai is one of those places that tends to catch on quite quickly to things. It's not a huge place, and I think if your competitor has access to a talent pool of, you know, very professionally skilled women and you're ignoring them, then suddenly it becomes something you need to sit up and take notice of.
And Tim, you're a founder. I mean, everything that Helen's saying there makes absolute sense. There's a workforce there that's available, experienced possibly before motherhood, lots of skills, lots of experience. Do you think lots of people in your position, though, are looking towards women to return to the workforce?
Well, I run a digital advertising agency, and it's hard work. It's very hard work. And unfortunately, in advertising, whether you're male or female, I think the business wants a lot from the employee. So whether it's the company that I'm involved with or others, I don't think it's about males or females. It's about, are we going to get our value from this individual, unfortunately, in quite a tough business?
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, you know, reading between the lines, there are lots of jobs where you need to be available at 10 o'clock at night because you have a client maybe on the other side of the world, or you have a project that needs to be finished. Do you think there's some reticence that people feel if perhaps a woman has a family or is thinking about having a family, she might not be available to be on call?
Yeah, I think that's definitely there, and it's definitely unfair. Again, coming back to the industry that I'm a part of, digital's 24/7, unfortunately. There is an expectation from clients, not just here, but all over the world, that we're all on our phones and we're all ready to, you know, work at the drop of a hat. If I think back, and I've been here 13 years, when I worked in the UK, clients would not call your mobile phone. They would respect your personal time. And I think the world's just changed. We're all involved. We're all available, unfortunately, male or female. And that's the way it is. And it's tough.
I think the one thing I would kind of add to that, we did a campaign last year with Dubai Links, and one of the things that came out of it was the mum time zone, if you like. And really, in some respects, having that flexibility to work once the kids are in bed answers that question of, you know, maybe not being available first thing in the morning or at 2 p.m. when you have to pick them up, but actually being available after 7 p.m. for those later night calls.
Maybe that attitude's a good idea, though, because we are too available now, aren't we? Maybe it's a male perspective in some ways that you can get me anytime you like, and maybe a bit more of a stronger female perspective. I'll get back to you, but I'll let you know when I'll get back to you. Maybe that's not such a bad thing.
100%. I think it's really, you know, we always kind of say that not every single role can be flexible. I mean, if you're an airline pilot or a receptionist, you can't really do your job from your sofa or work from home or whatever. But those that can, it's really about being protective, I guess, of your space and having that work-life balance. And that's something that we really try to push towards. So it's not just about being available 24/7, whether you're male or you're female. It's about having those boundaries, I guess, which affect both personal life and work life.
I mean, it's very difficult to balance whether you are male or female. It's one of those things. And I think like you say, Tim, people used to respect your personal space, but WhatsApp has become a platform where people contact you about very important work things sometimes. So there's that expectation that you're constantly switched on.
Can I just bring something in here? I know, Tim, you've got three kids.
Yeah.
And you've got three kids of different ages. And you've spent, what, the last 7-8 years building Hug?
Yeah.
So you've done that at a time when your kids demanded quite a lot of attention.
Yeah.
So it's not, I mean, it isn't, and you're right, Anna, to bring that up, and I don't want to go away from women in the workplace, but you perhaps have an understanding because your kids demanded attention when you probably couldn't give them the attention you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean,
to an extent.
Listen, again, it's about, yes, I have three kids, but I have a wife who also works full-time.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, I guess I had the easy bit. I could say I'm going to the office and I've got stuff to do. That's actually far easier than having to juggle doing the work and a preconception, perhaps, that you should be handling the kids and the after school and the homework and. Mm. So, you know, I'm certainly not a victim in this. I think it's about, there are huge expectations on the family unit, and I think different units play different roles.
Yeah.
And so long as you're all kind of in that together, then we try and juggle, but it's really difficult for everyone.
Drive Live talks careers.
Helen Maguire is here. She's the founder of Hopscotch. We also have Tim Baker, who's a digital entrepreneur and founder of Hug Digital. And we also have Jamie Liddington, who's a partner at Hadef and Partners. Now, Helen, if we can come to you now, first of all, we're going to talk about jobs for women in the future, but let's talk a little bit about Hopscotch. You've got big news about a big investment, about someone maybe not a million miles away from you.
Yeah. So we announced the news last Sunday, actually, that we have gained some investment from Tim, sitting to my left. Not to my right, not to be confused.
That would be.
Did you want some money from this, Tim?
Well, you know, if you're offering. And so the whole idea of that is to move the platform onto hopscotch.work, which is a digital and eventually global platform, which, you know, a women's empowerment platform. Running on lots of different projects and lots of different things going on around networking, careers, obviously, jobs and training.
And Tim, talk us through why this was such a good move for you as well.
Well, I've been running a digital agency for 8 years. So if you like, I watch lots of very smart lots of money and I sit there and work in the server, and it's always frustrated me. And with one of the partners, Justin, the late 90s, London, during the dot-com boom, I thought he was great then. I've remained friends. I think he's great now. And for the last 2 years, I've been what Helen's been doing, and Helen is a machine, an absolute machine, both in terms of her vision and managing to really get the kind of vision of Hopscotch out there. So I kind of got sucked in. I knew I watched what they were doing, and then we spent a year back and forth discussing ideas where we wanted to take things. And obviously, I want to bring my digital knowledge to help with the vision.
And Helen, how will this investment help in terms of essentially what the goal is, empowering women, as you've mentioned, and sort of taking that into a more digital and online direction?
Yeah, I think it helps in two ways, really. First of all, from a women's perspective, in the opportunity to profiles online and build their own dashboards, actually. So if you sign up to hopscotch.work, then you have the opportunity to build your own personality, I guess, and background, and to tell us and businesses out there what it is that you're looking for, what your goals and aspirations are, but also crucially what your frustrations are. I think there are many job boards out there, but they don't really give women a voice to explain their journey and to explain really where they want to go. And that's often the frustration with many of the women that we meet. It also gives the opportunity for women to network with other women. So we have live video on there, which in further phases will enable women to speak to one another and learn from one another. And then on the second side of that, for businesses themselves, It opens up our community of 50,000 plus women to businesses that are looking to hire skilled professional women, not just from Dubai now or from the UAE, but eventually from the region as a whole and over into Asia as we expand over there. So it meets quite a lot of needs, and it really takes out the middleman and enables businesses and women to connect with each other through the platform.
Here's a text in, and I just would like to get your opinion on this, if we can, Helen. Somebody, I'm listening to your show, a bit surprised why you keep saying that women are less available, because they have to look after their kids or family. Isn't it both parents' job to do so? I work in a very male-dominated industry, and there are days where I'm staying late at work. My husband has to send our daughter to sleep. So there's a sharing, obviously, in here. But, I mean, it is simply, I suppose, wrongly, it's traditional, I suppose, to some extent still, that perhaps being at home is seen as the woman's work. And I'm putting this really badly. But I suppose, generally speaking, that's how perhaps the positions are viewed. It is changing, and I understand that. But we're not trying to put this forward as the way things should be. We're discussing an issue in response to the text. Well, what would you say to that text?
I'd say there's a very obvious reason why the situation is as the situation is, and that's mostly because women have only been very active in the workplace, you know, probably the latter half of the last century. The workplace was built by men, you know, and subsequently has become a place that suits men in many different ways. And I think that's now changing because people have much more, or rather businesses have seen the gap there and have understood that actually it's very important to have equal, equal rights for men and women in the workplace, and so that's changing. One of my good friends who runs Elevate, Rana, is one of the things that she always says to me is that you can't have gender equality at work if you don't have gender equality at home. And I think that that really kind of stuck with me, because it doesn't work if women have the opportunity to work flexibly but men don't. You know, really, that is a place that we should be getting to, because without that, it just means that women essentially have double the work to do. You know, they go to work, but they also have to juggle everything else at home.
And Tim, you touched upon this with your family dynamic. It's, you know, your wife works full time, you work full time. You have to find a way to make that work. I mean, we're not suggesting for one second to the person that texted in that we think it should be that way. But unfortunately, there are lots of people who have an attitude that, you know, a man's career takes precedence over a woman's. And, you know, the job of looking after a house and or children falls to the woman.
Yeah, I mean, that's nonsense, obviously, categorically. You know, it's a partnership. It's about the aspirations of each individual at a different stage in their life. So when my wife had kids, of course, there is a focus on having those kids at the time. But post that, she has as much ambition as I do. And it's my role to help facilitate that as well.
And Jamie, you know, I guess you don't have many families coming to you in terms of what's happening with my equality in the domestic sense. But when it comes to employment law, do you find cases where women are saying, well, I do feel like maybe I was passed over for a few promotions, or my options have been limited because I can't work as flexibly as a man, or people perceive that I can't?
We don't have that much at this stage at NLT in the UAE, because although there is a piece of legislation in the onshore area that deals with discrimination, it's still relatively new. It was introduced in 2015, and so far it hasn't been applied in the employment context. It's really been about preventing discrimination based on religious grounds, or preventing people from making derogatory comments about the UAE. So there's a lot yet to be seen as far as that legislation in the Dubai courts. In the DIFC courts, the next 12 months is going to be very interesting, because there's a process underway at the moment with a new law expected to be brought in the fourth quarter of this year. For the first time, the law is going to have a suite of remedies in addition to the protection. So it's since 2012, it's been the case that you should not discriminate on the ground on certain prescribed grounds, one of which is gender. But it was silent as to what happens if an employer is found to have discriminated against, for example, a woman or a pregnant woman. Now we're going to plug that gap, and it's going to become clear that the court could award initially up to 1 year's wages as compensation, and then in certain circumstances that could be increased to 2 years' wages. So I think, you know, we're going to see more movement along these lines in an employment context. But just to respond as well to the person who texted in, you know, that's great. I'm my relationship as well. My wife works full time, and we just juggle everything. And you know, it's important that we both have our careers. I think the point that we were trying to make, though, is unfortunately there's still a stereotypical perception that if you are an employer who is hiring and you have an equal male and female candidate, unfortunately there are too many people who sit there and will start thinking, well, maybe the female candidate is going to have more childcare responsibility, and so we'll go with the male.
And you would have heard horror stories in the past of women being asked, do you have children, and or are you planning on starting a family at any point?
I mean, you only need to look as far as the UK. There's been equal pay legislation since the mid-70s, and yet it's taken until 2017 to have gender pay gap reporting. So from the 30th of March this year, employers of more than 250 employees needed to report what the pay gap was between male and female employees.
And Helen, you were nodding there, and I was saying, you know, you hear these horror stories of people being asked, you know, do you have children? If you don't, are you planning to have them? And if you are planning to have them, when will this happen? And how will this affect, you know, whether we give you this job or not?
Yeah, we hear those sorts of stories all the time. And even, to be honest, just stories of, you know, women walking into interviews, and the minute the gap, in inverted commas, is spotted on their CV, basically the interview ends. So there is a long way to go. But I think, you know, one of the things when you're looking for a job, or when you're trying to get back into the workplace, or even actually at an early stage in your career, it's very important to future-proof yourself, I think, in terms of your career choices, but also in terms of the companies that you work for. You know, these kind of changes really need to be written into the DNA of companies. It's not just a casual agreement between a manager and an employee, because it leads to all sorts of problems with all the other employees. So you need to be aware of kind of what those what the culture is, I think, when you're going for interviews.
It's just reminded me, actually, of a magazine article I read in a very famous women's magazine when I was a little bit younger. And it advised women going to interviews to hide a wedding or an engagement ring in case the hiring person thought that you were married and you might think about starting a family. That was the advice in a women's magazine for young women as solid career advice.
Was that in the 50s?
No. No.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was quite young, and, you know, I wasn't married or thinking about anything like that. But yes, it's just something that stuck in my mind while we're talking about this topic.
Three guests with us. Helen Maguire, who is the founder of Hopscotch. Tim Baker is with us. Tim's a digital entrepreneur, founder of Hug Digital. The reasons he's here will become apparent in a moment. And Jamie Liddington is a partner at Haddiff & Partners. He's our legal expert this afternoon. We've been talking about women in the workplace, as I said. And the question, I suppose, next for you, Helen, is what's needed moving forward, the reason for Hopscotch, the reason for the investment that Tim has put into the business, his digital experience. What are you going to be doing, and what need are you addressing for 50% of the working population?
So Hopscotch is just over two years old now. So this platform really comes from the learnings that we've had over the last couple of years. And that's from a business perspective, and also from a women's perspective. You know, we're obviously in communication with our pool of talent every day, and also at events. So it comes from quite a lot of feedback. And there are three kind of key things that Hopscotch addresses, I guess, and the new platform Hopscotch.work addresses, which would be work, quite obviously, and that comes in various different formats. It's not just flexible work, because many women are very happy to work full-time and permanent hours. And actually, you know, with the economy the way it is at the moment, and things being a little bit uncertain, dual income families are much more common. It's not the case that you come here anymore and necessarily get a free pass just to not whatever you want to do. So we have lots of options up there on the job board, and that will come, I guess, as we expand outside of the in the coming months. Secondly, Learn, which is live, the live part of our site, which is Tim and I kind of came up with together. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of what I do is work around social media. And the future, or the current and future of social, is all about video. We want to watch video, we want to scroll through our phone, and we don't want to look at text and picture anymore. So something that Helen said to me in one of our early meetings, when she brings groups of women together, one thing that's very powerful is the personal connection from woman to woman. And we wanted to see how we could replicate that within a digital environment, because we believe if women can connect with other women, if women can connect with employers, then we're really delivering something that doesn't exist already.
That's a really important part of our site, which will kind of open up as we go along as well. Currently, if you go there, you'll find training videos. So trainers and life coaches from here in the region giving their advice. Because again, it's very difficult sometimes for women, particularly if you are working or if you're dealing with childcare, to actually get out to networking events and to meet other people. And quite often, that is the way that you find work. You know, it's building that confidence and making that journey, and potentially even meeting employers in those spaces as well. So that's what Live does. And then we have another part of the platform, which is to do with our events, to do with our returnships, so our career comeback series, to do with our talent open mornings, which allow women to connect directly with businesses and also on ground as well.
It sounds quite a lot like the digital golf course.
Yeah.
You know, you can go and meet people there and have those conversations that maybe sometimes women are excluded from the party. You know, that there's lots of sort of opportunities.
Do you know, you can have that marketing slogan for free, I think.
I know, thank you. Just come I up will, with yeah, there. Written that down.
It's an interesting point, but I was going to ask that, and it kind of relates, because when you two got together and you thought, well, this is about connecting women to other women in different situations, and it was almost as though you were saying women connect with women in a different way that men connect to men, and I'm wondering what that difference is and how different the approach of this site would be to a similar site which is perhaps directed at men. Tim, I don't know if there is a difference. I guess there must be. I don't know.
I don't think there's a difference. I think we, Helen, identified a need to help women within the workplace, and that's what we focused on. Right. And I think it's important to understand that different women are at different stages. So some women are, you know, they've just had a baby. Their mind might not be focused on going back to work, but it's at the back of the mind. Someone else may have been looking for 6 months to get a job and isn't getting anywhere with it. So part of what we're trying to do is, irrespective of what stage you're at, you come and participate within Live. So you can look from afar. 100 people can come and watch a mentor deliver something that may be of interest to you. Or you can be an active participant. You can set up your own session. You can lead a training session. And at the end of that, you can connect with people that you want to connect with, who have similar interests or aspirations to yourself. So that's really where what we're trying to do is a little bit different.
Yeah, and these are all things that we're building towards as well, you know, as the platform grows, again, you know, not just here in this region, but other regions. Asia is kind of next on the map, if you like. Then those networks will become ever stronger, I think. And it's just, you know, as Tim said, it's a very genuine insight, it's a very genuine perception, and something that I've learned from going to lots and lots of women's network events and forums and conferences and so on, and just seeing how those connections work brilliantly. And I think women, particularly if you're not at work, you know, you can lose confidence as well. And it really kind of helps just push forward on that journey. It makes a huge difference.
And just final quick response from you, Jamie. Can you see a lot of changes coming in terms of a legal framework to help women? Because it's great that there's lots of initiatives, but do you think there's going to be more options for women to use the legal framework to help them in terms of equality here?
I think it's already there, actually. I mean, you know, since 2010, we've had the ability to obtain part-time work permits, temporary work permits. There's outsourcing legislation. So I think there's already a great deal of flexibility there. And this week we've heard about the potential to have an introduction of 10-year residence visas, 100% foreign ownership. So I think the government is keenly aware of the need to introduce more flexibility into the system. So, yeah, there is more potential, but there's also a lot there to start working with. And my view is that I think it's more of a society attitude and shift that needs to happen rather than introduction of law to try and, you know, solve the problem. Because, as I said, you know, we've had the legislation since the mid-70s in the UK, but it's taken until 2018 to really start seeing some movement on that.
Just finally, to come back to something you mentioned, Helen, lots of people thinking that it's no longer a place where maybe women come and get a free pass. I know one woman who convinced her husband that housewife unable to work in the visa meant she couldn't possibly do anything. She's got away with that for 5 years.
Yeah.
It's a secret. Anyway, thank you to our three guests today. Helen Maguire is the founder of Hopscotch. Helen, thank you very much for coming in today. And Tim Baker, digital entrepreneur, founder of Hug Digital, and partnership with Hopscotch now too.
Thank you very much.
And Jamie Liddington, who's a partner at Hadaf and Partners. Jamie, thanks for coming
in. Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.